Bibles to the book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark. Reading the verses 26 to 34. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. I could tell something wasn't working there, so I figured it out. Mark 4, verse 26. Let us hear the reading of God's word. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." And again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. That's the reading of God's word. In the book of Mark, we have been studying this series on parables. And up till this point in the book, Jesus has told us that he is bringing in the kingdom. He has done many miracles, but he has not necessarily told us what is the kingdom. And the characters in the story have been wondering, and you, the reader, have been wondering, what is the nature of this kingdom which Jesus brings? And so we have come to this section on parables, which we started a few weeks ago, and the parables are revealing to us who Jesus is, what Jesus is doing, and the nature of the kingdom which is coming in. And we have seen the picture of Jesus sitting out there on the boat and the crowd standing around on the shore, and they were listening, and Jesus sitting out there on the boat and the sea representing the death, and Jesus preaching to them these parables. And Jesus, as he's telling them, tells them this parable of the sower, which Mark records. And he's telling us this parable with the indication that he is the sower, because he is planting the seed. He is preaching the word of God, and the seed is being planted to all different people. And within the crowd, according to the parable of the sower, there are four kinds of reactions to Jesus and his word. Some of the words that Jesus is preaching is landing on the path. It is landing on hard hearts. And so there are people that are listening to Jesus that are not believing in him, that the seed lands on the surface and it never goes in the heart, and the birds come and they take it away. And some of the word that Jesus preaches lands on the rocky soil. Some of it lands on soil where the people hear the word and they get all excited about Jesus and what Jesus has done for them. But as soon as trouble and persecution comes, the seed and the plant that is growing dies. And then some of the seed and some of the word that Jesus is planting is landing among the thorns. And the seed grows, but there are thorns and other worries in this life that is growing up right along with that plant. And so the person is happy because the seed is starting to grow in their heart, but soon they become dissuaded because of all the other things, and these people fall away. They can't handle the persecutions and the worries and the other desires of this life. They have become more important than Jesus. But some of the seed and the word that Jesus has been planting has landed on the good soil. And we have seen the miracle of the good soil and what Jesus has done and what his word can do among people. Because when the word lands on the good soil, it grows and it produces a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. A magnificent harvest is ready. And so after telling the parable of the sower, Jesus calls the people to hear what Jesus has said, to hear the meaning of this parable. And the 12, certain others, the 12 disciples come to Jesus, and they want to hear more. They want to hear the meaning of the kingdom. And so Jesus tells them in verse 7 that the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you because they have come to ask. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever hearing, ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Parables reveal the kingdom of God in a veiled way. And we talked last week about this passage and about how some people think that this passage is teaching that God is somehow withholding the kingdom of God from certain people with these parables. But last week we compared it with the parable of the lamp. And we saw how the lamp is shining brightly, that Jesus is the light of the world. And God did not have this light shine brightly for the meaning to be it to be concealed, but for it to be disclosed. He wants that light to shine. Jesus is speaking in parables. He's bringing the kingdom of God so people will see it. And the way it is disclosed is that people come by faith to Jesus and they want to know more. And so he discloses further the kingdom of heaven to these people. And so Jesus is calling these people. He's calling them to come and hear and to learn more. And he's calling us to come and to hear and to learn more. And we concluded last week that the emphasis of the parable of the sower, through the understanding of the parable and the lamp on the stand, is the way that God has been working in the harvest. The threefold crop of 30, 60, and even 100 times what was sown. It is not upon what God did not do, but upon what God has done and what he continues to do through the production of the harvest, which is sown in the good soil. And now we come to the parable of the growing seed. And in verse 26 we read that Jesus says, "This is what the kingdom of God is like." And the last time in the book of Mark that we have read about that statement, that what is the kingdom of God is like, goes back to chapter 1. And in chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus comes into the kingdom proclaiming the good news of God, and he says, "The time has come. The time is fulfilled. The Old Testament is here. I have come. Repent and believe, because the kingdom of God is near." And so the Old Testament is over. God's kingly rule is here through me. And I'm coming in to bring in this kingly rule to the kingdom. And so now in verse 26 of chapter 4, Jesus is going to tell us something about what this kingdom of God is like. He said it is like a man scattering seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest is come. Now notice the connection in verse 27. Look what's happening here. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how, and all by itself, the soil produces grain. Now look at verse 8. Verse 8 of the same chapter. In describing the seed that falls on the good soil, he says, "It came up, grew, and produced a crop." So you see a threefold thing happening here. The soil falls, it grows, and produces a crop. And in the parable of the growing seed, we see the same thing. The seed sprouts, grows, and produces a crop. And so this parable of the growing seed is interpreting for us something further about the harvest, about the soil, about the seed that lands upon the good soil, and the crop that it produces. And so just as the focus of the parable of the lamp on the stand was further interpretation of verses 11 and 12, so is the parable of the growing seed further interpretation of verses 20 and verses 8. It's telling us something further about the harvest and about the seed which is growing and producing a crop. And so this parable eliminates the seed on the path. It eliminates the seed growing in the rocky places. It eliminates the thorns. And it focuses for this little section specifically on the good soil. Now, what does it tell us? It tells us something in the past, something in the present, and something about the future. First, we will start with the past. A man scatters seed on the ground. So it says in verse 26. Jesus is the sower. Jesus is the man who is scattering the seed upon the ground. We have been seeing that in the book of Mark, that Jesus came to the earth and he was preaching God's word. And the word of God is the seed, and the seed has been landing upon different hearts. And so now he's talking about himself, who is scattering the seed upon the ground. But only some of the seed lands upon the good soil. And so this parable is telling us something further about the seed that Jesus has been scattering, and it lands on the good soil. And now look what happens. Verse 27. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. Notice the emphasis on all by itself. And the emphasis, at the end of verse 27, though he does not know how. What does this mean? Does this mean that Jesus is somewhat distancing himself from this seed, that Jesus is scattering the seed, he's preaching the word to all these people, but now is he distancing himself? What does this mean? What is the interpretation of this? Well, the meaning can be found as we look further ahead in the Gospel of Mark. We've got to turn to chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, the verses 32 to 37. Mark chapter 13, verses 32 to 37. And Jesus says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house in charge of his servants, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or the rooster crows or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch." Jesus is reclaiming the house. When he came into the world, he was reclaiming the world from Satan and was driving Satan out. And now Jesus is the owner of the house because he is ruler over this world, and he has gone away. Jesus is in heaven right now. He has left the disciples and they carried on his work, but right now he is not here. And so he has left his house in charge of his servants, he has left his house in charge of his people, and he's assigned them this task. Such is the interpretation of our passage. Jesus has gone in heaven. Jesus has come to the world and he scattered his seed and he's preached the gospel to all these people, but now he's not here. And so night and day the church is growing, the seed is sprouting and growing. Night and day the soil is producing and growing. And he's still working among us, but through the Holy Spirit. Because the Son is no longer upon this earth, he is in heaven, but the Holy Spirit, through God's servants, are still helping the church grow. We are still preaching, we are still teaching people, and so the church is still growing. Such is the present age. But now we move to the third part, the future. Verse 29. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Jesus is here talking about a future time. He's talking about something which is going to happen still in the future today. We are in the present age. The church is still growing. The seed is still growing from the seeds that Jesus has planted from his word. But in the future, there's going to be a harvest. And this harvest is seen in Revelation chapter 14. So if you will, turn with me to the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 14. And look at verse 14 to 16. Revelation chapter 14, last book in the Bible, verses 14 to 16. I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. The Son of Man is Jesus. He's coming. He's got no longer a crown of thorns on his head, but a crown of gold and a sharp sickle in his hand. And then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, "Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." So he that was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Jesus is someday, he's going to come back in the clouds and he's going to harvest the earth. He's going to harvest the seeds that he planted when he was here and when he was preaching and teaching. He's going to harvest the crop which has been growing by the Holy Spirit. And that's going to come place in the future. And harvest time in Israel was a very, very exciting time for them. The people had planted the grain. They had been praying and praying for rain. They had watched the seed grow and the seed become more and the seed become a plant and become ready for harvest. But when the sower was planting, he could not necessarily see what kind of soil he was planting on. Now, as he was planting and he had the seed in his grain bag and he was scattering the seed around, some of the seed ended up, as he was scattering, on the path. And when the harvest came and all the harvest was there, they did not see any grain growing on the path because the birds had taken it away. And when the harvest was growing and when the harvest was ripe and he was ready to come out with his sickle, he could very plainly see where the rocky soil was, because he still saw the plants that were lying there dead after springing up and dying. And at the harvest time, he could very plainly see where the weeds were, because the weeds grew up alongside of the other seed and they produced no crop. And he could very plainly see the good soil. At harvest time, it was clear where the seed was landing. He couldn't necessarily see it when he was planting. He could not see the shallow soil, but at harvest time, it was clear. And the harvest was always sure. The people always knew that the good soil would surely produce a harvest. And so it was with Jesus. He knows that there's going to be a harvest time. Whether they had a good year or a bad year in Israel, there still was going to be something to harvest. And Jesus knows that there is going to be a harvest. He has scattered his seed, and in the future, there is going to be a harvest. And so the sowing is clear to us, the harvest is clear to us, but what is not fully clear to us is the growth of the kingdom that is taking place. There is still somewhat of a mystery here. How does the sower not know how it is growing? How is the soil growing by itself? Jesus is removed. But yet there is still somewhat of a mystery here, something we don't quite understand. And so Jesus gives us the parable of the mustard seed, which tells us something further from this mystery of the present age and of the growth of the seed. And so look what he tells us. Verse 30. And again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it?" He again is describing something to us about the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God is like, this kingdom that he has been bringing in. But he's calling it, "What parable shall we use to describe it?" A parable is something that he tells so that people may be ever seeing but never perceiving, that they may be ever hearing but never understanding. A parable is spoken in a veiled way, so people come and have to learn more. And the disciples have heard the parables, and they're coming by faith to learn more, but they still don't fully understand what he is teaching and what he is doing. And so Jesus tells another parable. A parable to somehow describe further the kingdom, because this is a mystery, the growth of the kingdom. And so he tells us in verse 31, "It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground." The Jewish rabbis at that time often described a mustard seed to illustrate something that was the smallest possible thing that you can have. The text tells us it is the smallest seed of all the seeds that you could plant in a ground. It seems like the tiniest, most insignificant seed. You might not even notice it. It might just fall through your fingers into the ground. But what happens to it? In verse 32, "Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." The mustard seed starts insignificant and small, but it grows. It grows to a height where it says in the text that it's the largest of all the garden plants. The smallest seed becomes the largest of all the garden plants. And so large is it that the birds of the air are even seeking refuge in this plant. Such is the kingdom of heaven. The Jewish rabbis were expecting a Messiah. They were expecting a world leader who would lead them to be a mighty, powerful nation. Someone who would lead their armies and they could recapture Rome and they would be rulers of the entire world. But here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus and he's preaching the kingdom of God. He's telling people to repent and believe in him as the Son of God. And they're saying, "Where are the mighty armies? Where are the powerful people? We want to become a powerful nation. We want to rule the world." But when Jesus came, he came planting like a small, insignificant seed. Jesus, rather than leading a mighty army and conquering the world, Jesus went to a cross. He suffered the humiliation of a Roman cross, the most humiliating punishment known at the time, to be nailed on a cross. And the seed of Jesus and the word that he was planting seemed so insignificant, it seemed so small. Here he is going up on the cross, suffering the most humiliating punishment ever. But that's what it is, a mustard seed. It seems so small. It seems so tiny. But when Jesus died, this small, insignificant thing, so it seemed to them, he went into the ground and he came out of the ground alive. And that kingdom that he proclaimed after he overcame the death has been growing. And so what started with a tiny little seed, which seemed like something that was insignificant, has been growing. And people have started to be startled by this. Here is this small Jesus dying on the cross, and suddenly it becomes large. Just as they saw this small seed, and suddenly it becomes the largest plant in all the garden. And people were startled by that. And when Jesus came out of the grave, in the book of Acts, it tells us the further growth of his kingdom. They will carry that name of Jesus and the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth, the apostles are told. And so Paul takes the message to the city of Rome. It has gone to the end of the earth at that time, and the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is growing. It is becoming like the largest plant of all the garden plants. And the church is still growing. And the church is still visible. And notice what happens with this large garden plant. The birds of the air can perch in its shade. The birds of the air see this garden plant and they see the shade that this mustard plant can provide. And they go into that shelter. They go into that plant for strength. and protection. You are a people who are in the wilderness. You are in the darkness of this world, the world of Satan, which is all around you. And all around you, Satan has been tempting you and he's been pulling you away. Some of you have even lived under his power and under his control. But then you became to realize that there was a mustard tree growing. It started insignificant, but now it is larger than all the other kingdoms of the world. It is the largest of all the plants, and you have seen its shade. You came to know the kingdom of heaven, and you have seen its shade. And like the birds of the air who saw its shade, you came out of that wilderness, out of that darkness, and you found rest in the shade of the mustard plant. You have found the rest and the comfort that there is in belonging to the kingdom of heaven, the spiritual shelter that is there. The darkness of the world is all around you. It pulls you away, a world of darkness and of sin. But you can come to church. You can come and rest in the shade of the mustard plant, just as the bird. And you have recognized that. And so do you see the picture of our text this morning? The parable of the sower focuses upon two specific things. It focuses upon the harvest which is still coming, which grows from 30, 60 to 100 times. And it focuses upon those people who do not see. And the parable of the lamp, which follows the parable of the sower, tells us more about those who do not see. The parable of the lamp tells us that the light of Jesus is shining brightly, that it is not meant to be hidden, that it is meant to be disclosed. And the people come to hear. They recognize that, and they come. And the parable of the growing seed tells us that Jesus has planted the seed, and that the harvest is coming, and that the harvest is sure. But there's still a mystery which is still happening. And the mystery which is still happening, the growth of the seed, is the growing of the church. It is the parable of the mustard seed. And the mustard seed ties together the parable of the lamp, and it ties together the parable of the growing seed. Because the seed starts small, and it grows, and it becomes large. And some people recognize it. Some people, like the birds, recognize the growth of this large plant. And like the lamp that is shining in the darkness, and the people come to hear, and the people come to recognize it because they want to know more, so do birds, so do people come to rest into the kingdom of God under the shade, under the branches of the mustard seed, which is growing, which started insignificant, but has become larger than all the garden plants. And so we have seen this illustrated in the Gospel of Mark, because the paralytic came to Jesus. He came as a paralyzed man, as one of the worst sinners, of someone who had sinned so bad he was paralyzed. And he saw the light of Jesus. And he came to Jesus by faith, and Jesus healed him. He healed him not only spiritually, but also physically. He was spiritually healed, and he found his rest in the arms of Jesus. He found his rest in the garden plant. And so it was with Levi. Levi, the tax collector, had all the wealth he could ever want, and he had cheated and he had lied, and all of his own people hated this tax collector. But he knew that wasn't what he wanted. He knew that wasn't where it was. But he recognized the kingdom of God. He recognized the light. He recognized the garden plant. And he came to rest. He left behind all of his wealth and all of his cheating and all of his past life. And he found the kingdom of God, and he found its rest. And so it was with many of you and with me. We have recognized the kingdom of God. We have left our past life, the life of sin and which was evil, and we have found rest in that large plant. We have recognized the kingdom of God, and we have come to perch in its shade. But the passage goes on in verse 33. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He spoke to them, to the crowds, in parables, trying to help them understand. But verse 34 tells us that he did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. There you see the picture of those people again on the outside and those people on the inner circle. There are people coming to Jesus that want to know more. And when he is alone with them, he is further explaining the kingdom of heaven. He is explaining the parables which those people on the outside don't recognize, those parables which they do not see. But to some who are recognizing it, who are coming and are perching in the branches as the bird of the air of the mustard tree, he is explaining everything. And he has given us, by speaking in parables, a period of grace. A period of grace that we can see, that we can know, that we can further understand. Because the day will come when everyone will see clearly what Jesus has been teaching in parables. When they will see clearly the harvest. Because not only will there be a harvest of ripening of the church, which will come to Jesus and will be with him. But if we had read further in the book of Revelation, we will read about the harvest of judgment. The judgment which will come to those who do not grow, who do not become fruitful, who do not belong to the kingdom of heaven. And their harvest will be a harvest of judgment. And so, let us come to God today. Let us be thankful that we can be part of this kingdom of heaven. This kingdom of heaven which many to us may seem insignificant. To the world around us and to the world leaders, they do not take into account the kingdom of God and to the kingdom of heaven. But the kingdom of heaven is larger than all the other kingdoms, and we, his church, have perched in its shade. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for this parable which you have given us. This text which teaches us about your kingdom, about the growth of this kingdom. And Lord, thousands of years ago, when you came to this earth and you died for your church, and when you came out of the grave to the people and the world leaders there, it seemed so small and so insignificant. But you, through the work of your apostles, through the work of the Holy Spirit, have increased the church, and it has grown, and it has become stronger. And we here, 2,000 years later, have heard of these events which happened many years ago. And we have recognized, Lord, the power of the mustard plant. And we have come to rest within the shade of this plant. And Lord, you have taken us from our past lives, our lives of sin and of evil, and have enabled us to recognize this plant and to be part of this plant. And to see that this plant is larger than all the other plants. And you've given rest to us in its shade. And Lord, we know that we are not in the eternal place of rest yet. But we still live in this world. And we see the temptations around us to pull us away. But Lord, help us to look to you and to your rest. And whatever happens to us, Lord, which sometimes seems trying, which sometimes seems difficult, we can know and be assured that those who belong to your kingdom, those who belong to your Son Jesus, live forever in your eternal rest. Give us this rest today, Father. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.